On this episode of The Playbook, I have the Screwball Edition. That's right, Brittany and Steve Yang, CEO and founders of Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey. And we're going to talk about faith and how luck and faith create success and dreams by being kind to your future self. No better example than the people at Screwball. Join me for all of this and more on The Playbook.
This is Entrepreneurs The Playbook, where each week I bring you some of the greatest athletes, celebrities, and entrepreneurs to talk about their personal and professional playbook to success and what made them champions on the field and in the boardroom. I'm your host, David Meltzer.
It's time to get screwed. I got Stephen and Brittany Yang, founders of Screwball Whiskey, and I'm so excited because they have the screwiest type of marketing, the screwiest type of entrepreneurship. And it's all based on truly being good people. And I've learned that. Welcome to The Playbook, Stephen and Brittany. How are you?
Well, thank you.
Super honored. I mean, I'm a fanboy right now, David. So.
I love it. Well, I know Brittany's a fan of my perspective, which is the biggest compliment you could give me. I'd rather someone be a fan of my perspective because that perspective will last a lot longer than Dave Meltzer will, especially with all the whiskey I drink in my life. But I'm curbing, hopefully. I want to start with the Screw It Forward initiative because it's right up my alley. I think people sometimes in philanthropy take things too serious. And I live my life, as you know, by rule number 6, don't take yourself so seriously. And you've done that with a quality brand, a quality product, and you've enabled it to not only be fun, but you're paying it forward to help a whole bunch of people. And you have from your overall brand story and the growth that you've taken, really taken into consideration being kind, which I love. And although the brand itself is fun and it's, you know, for me, bonding, can you take me through the kindness part, which is to me an anomaly in your space of how kindness played a role in the expansion and growth that you guys are experiencing?
Yeah, so I know that you probably don't want to hear my life story, but I have to go back to my life story, how we got here. And so, I was born in Cambodia, like third world country. My grandparents.
Easy for you to say, man. I know you've been in tons of these interviews already today. So
I'm nervous. I'm nervous. I've done so much.
You're so nervous. It's the biggest compliment.
Story about 100 times. Complimentary
playbook. Welcome to The Playbook.
This So my grandparents and parents migrated from China down to Cambodia. Fortunately, they chose the wrong country to go to, which is Cambodia. And my grandparents lost their lives. A lot of my aunts and uncle during the whole genocide that happened. They were actually was able to, again, you know, back then, if they trade a bar of gold for a banana, they would say, no way. I'm going to keep the banana because I can't survive off the gold. So through them, they always taught about, you know, just always kindness. You know, if you help people then, right, when people need help most, it'll come back tenfold. And so unfortunately, similar stuff that's happening currently where airborne virus is going on. And so that airborne virus happened to have contained polio. So I caught polio pretty much overnight. I had the high fever and that virus attacks my spinal cord and left my right leg permanently paralyzed. So my parents at the time, they were already retired. Building a wealth of, they were butchers, actually pigs farmers. And so they decide to leave the border of Cambodia, crossing those landmine borders where, and then snuck into a refugee camp in Thailand. And in there, we stayed there about 6 years, essentially a prison. Once a month or so, a plane would fly by and everybody would stop like the twilight zone, look in the sky, and hopefully one day you got answered by a random act of kindness that sponsored you. And, you know, which had happened for us, random act of kindness that we got sponsored and brought into Ocean Beach, San Diego. And there, you know, I met my wife. And, you know, we were all skin and bone all the time, all skin and bone, had no money, you know, that, I mean, everybody, a lot of people have that American dream story of no money, no English. You know, I remember at the airport, zipping my pants up and down because I don't speak English and wondering where's the restroom, you know, using sign language and all that stuff. So the couple that sponsor us in the US, Saws All Skin and Bone, gave us baskets of food all the time. It consists of apple, bread, and peanut butter. There was just my love for peanut butter have started. So, you know, we like live in a car, live in a garage after that. And so, but from that, we, even though I have such a tough childhood, there was so much kindness, you know, when I got to America, that we just been just on that opposite side receiving end. And, you know, for Brittany, her dad, yeah.
We didn't grow up with money either. It was always those things of, you know, I think there's nothing more worrisome when you're a kid, like your kid, your parents not sleeping over money, and you just never want to worry about that in your life. And I think for us, that was always the thing. It wasn't us chasing money or chasing anything. It was chasing, you know, that feeling of not having to worry about that and trying to share that feeling with as many people as we can.
Yeah. And so for us, you know, that feeling that, hey, you know, when COVID happened, you know, we decided to, you know, we're a brand new company, you know, essentially. I mean, we've been working on this project for a long time.
And really, that industry, the bar industry, had been so instrumental in our growth that it was just like they had helped us so much that we needed to give back. We had built this brand around creating that community and fostering that community about to be.
Yeah,
gone.
I mean, what happened where, you know, in the bar industry, I've been in the bar for over a decade, you know, having restaurants also and being part of that. And used to be, I got out in January of 2020. But when that happened, you know, a lot of the bar industry, they're very, very generous. Also, when they go out, they tip big and also, you know, big hearted also. They're without a job. So, you know what, Brittany and I looked at each other, you know, we was gifted what Screwball have success, and we got lucky and through that. And so what we need to do is what should we do? And we empty our bank account.
I mean, and at the time we didn't know if our production was about to be shut down. You know, it was at the end, everyone didn't know, like the restaurants were the first thing to start shutting down. No one knew what was next. Yeah. And we were just like, look, we just need this community to be here. This is the only place.
Yeah. We empty our bank account and just, you know, immediately donate to the core children restaurant employees, you know, restaurant, bartenders, Gil, and then, you know, and then also, you know, over $500,000. And then, you know what, at the time, it sounds stupid that we were able to source through my restaurant connections, breads, peanut butter, eggs, toilet paper in March when no one could get it. And
from sources outside of the stores and everything.
Yeah.
Like
so
that.
We hand about 5,000 bags right there. And then just to see, just like, you know, for us to be able to give right there. And then we actually stopped producing whiskey.
I mean, it's kind of similar to what Sue was saying, where people didn't want the gold, right? You're handing them bread and toilet paper and they're crying, and that's the most valuable thing you could be handing them.
Yeah. And we stopped making whiskey, started making hand sanitizers, 20,000-30,000, and just shipping out across the US, and then being able to drop like 5-gallon buckets to hospital, like Sharp, UCSDs, and places that they were completely out at that time. They couldn't get it, just to see that that is worth more than gold itself. And so we just saw that. And you know, it's actually better than anything else, that feeling of now finally being able to return back that Ryan F. act of kindness that Strange have shown to us. I mean, Brittany and I, again, we grew up from nothing. Her dad was in the military. You know, I remember my brother and I would sleep in a car. And then, you know, while my parents were working at a donut shop, and we would sneak out, you know, usually like the morning of we're pulling trashes out there, and we'd just go dumpster diving. And I remember those times where my mom, we secretly did it. And my mom was checking on my brother, who was sick at the time, and found out that we were gone. You know, it was early in the morning while she was helping make donut shop, and they thought we got kidnapped or something and frantically looking for us. And so when she found that my brother and I was just going through the trash can and all that, it broke her heart. And, you know, I know that a lot of parents go through this, is that they want the best for their kids. And so just some of the moments that, you know what, that, you know, us going through, you know, having polio, coming to the US, and then, you know, meeting Brittany and all that, you never knew where life leads you to. But I mean, I think I would never change what happened to us, you know, because it shapes who we are currently right now.
You know, it's so interesting because I grew up in San Diego and the energy of Ocean Beach, where you live, where the OB Noodle House was, which was the predecessor restaurant. It's, you know, and I know the name comes from this, but it is a bunch of eclectic people in an eclectic place where you have Hodads and OB Noodle House and all these just different things going on. And you guys are even a different couple and a different company. And yet there's this element of faith that I think it is truly the backbone of your story, but it's also the backbone of your company. You know, I know you kind of slid past the fact that you emptied your bank account over $500,000 with no real prospect of certainty of your own future. That is amazing. And you also skirted over another issue, which I think so interesting is you keep on saying how lucky you two are, which, you know, I know, you know, Stephen, you're extremely lucky being married to Brittany. Not sure how lucky Brittany is, but we'll see. But moreover, that idea of luck, I really think is important to delve into for entrepreneurs. All great entrepreneurs are lucky. And now I think understanding what that means to you is more important than you telling people that you're lucky. So I'm going to start with Brittany real quick. When you tell me you're so lucky, Brittany, what does that actually mean?
You know, I think a lot of times it's easy for people to have achieved all this success and just assume that it's everything they did. But for us, it's really been us working hard and that hard work meeting up with a right opportunity, the right timing, you know, and things have worked out with timing. You know, there is some of it where we're having to figure it out. And some of the timing doesn't feel right at the time. And I think it's like you said, that faith that it doesn't feel right now. And then having faith that that's going to lead you to something bigger. There's so many times as an entrepreneur that you're going to feel like giving up, like feel like, why? Like if you don't ask yourself, why did I do this a few times along the way, I don't know if you're putting enough out there, but you should always kind of come back and say, no, I'm doing it right. It's going to work out. And you have to have that faith in yourself at the end of the day that it's going to work out.
And how about you, Stephen, for luck and faith? How are those intertwined?
You're right that I am extremely lucky to marry Brittany. You know, people wondering, I mean, Asian weren't that popular back then, you know, like Asian guys, I could say that Asian weren't popular back then. And so how do I get it? Well, I was
actually thinking how smart she was. And I wasn't thinking about what.
Oh, well, I don't even have a degree. I went to community college while she have a JD at, have a master in chemistry and JD over at University of Chicago, worked at a big law firm as you know.
Now we're talking, that's what I'm talking about.
We joke that he's our pretty face because he loves to talk.
Yeah. Yes. So, but you know, being able to, you know, luck, you know, I use the term lucky, but you have to put yourself in position to be lucky. And that's one thing is that, I don't know, maybe I felt like now I'm lucky to cop polio, you know, because now I'm moving out of third world country, being able to come here to the US, met my wife, but also, I mean, I get to do cool stuff like, gosh, last year after we wrote the check, we're like, you know what? That's not enough. Writing a check is one thing, but what can you do also? So we built a Shaggin' Wagon, we call it. Huge fan of Dumb and Dumber. Turned a Mercedes Sprinter van and just put black shaggy carpet all over. Drove across the country, 40 states that we did, you know? And then when each town that we stop in, we wrote a $5,000 check. And we also just see what we could do to the local charity aspect of it. And then, you know, in places that have screwball, see what we could do. We tip $100, $500, we tip up to $4,000 to a random stranger. I think that for us, the biggest success of Screwball is that we are able to change someone's day without them expecting that. So, I mean, that's just a great feeling for us.
One of the other things I want to touch on, which was forced upon me when I was an entrepreneur, I was very much like you, extremely grateful for everything that I had. I was, you know, couldn't even imagine the life that I was living. And somewhere along the way, I lost my perspective and fear started to creep in. And I didn't make good decisions. But yet I lost everything. And there's this freedom about giving everything away, whether it was forced upon me or not. There was this freedom after being so lucky, quote unquote, and putting so much effort into being lucky and providing so much for my community, so much for myself, and then being at ground zero. It was interesting as you're telling the story to purposefully put yourself at ground zero is, from my perspective, the one that Brittany loves so much, is so enlightening. Like, to be able to live your life with complete faith that I come from nowhere, I'm now here, and I will end up nowhere. My father taught me with a jacket. It took me a good 8 or 9 years to figure it out. I'm here to give my life away. And you talk about giving your life away. I you know, I'm having trouble. You have a Latham & Watkins lawyer from University of Chicago, one of the greatest institutions, academic institutions. And you have this other dynamic individual that came over barely surviving your own life from being robbed and coming over, you know, with polio. I mean, the list goes on. And yet your perspective is, my purpose, regardless of the huge success that peanut butter whiskey has, and it will continue to grow. And I've been in the industry a long time. I've never seen someone get adoption across all 50 states and Canada so quickly. That's a miracle by itself. But yet you both believe that you're here to give your life away. You know, what to you inspires that type of feeling without being forced into some, you know, you started out low like I did, but you've had continual success from Obi Noodle House to Latham & Watkins. Like, it to me is just such a fascinating thing that you could put yourself into that perspective without something external being catalytic to say, hey, wake up, you're here to give your life away, you're blessed. It takes usually people that are blessed some sort of wake up. How did you guys, you know, get to this point of enlightenment?
Well, I think one of it is, like I said, you grow up and you see your parents worrying about money and stressing over that. And there's two sides to that. There's the side where you just don't have enough, right? And then there's the side when you get that success, it's not like people just think, oh, it's easy, right? But then you have all these people below you that depend on you. So much more is at stake, and it's not just you, it's everyone below you. And so I think it was, you know, there's part of it that we just don't want that part of our life to control us. I think that, you know, you said our purpose isn't here to come and make the most money and do all of those kinds of things. It's really to be there for the people that are helping us and make sure that we're all happy and healthy. And that's really, for us, the driving force. And I think one of the greatest gifts we have in this is we're sitting next to a husband and wife, which is unique, right, in a lot of these businesses. And it really grounds you, right? He's known me since I was like 14 years old. Like, we've known each other really well. And so it grounds you in, like, anytime you would maybe want to get like, hey, we did a really good job. He's like, really? Like, you know, it's grounding. You have somebody next to you grounding you the entire time.
Yeah. And you know, you look right behind. I love that. Money doesn't buy happiness. And you know, I think I was successful in my career and as a restaurateur, and Brittany was successful in her career as a patent litigator. And so, you know, when we were having trouble, like, we always want to be parents. We wanted kids. And you know, when we were having trouble, conceiving our first daughter, we're like, you know, then we, you know, and then she was a miracle child when we found out we were pregnant. I was getting home before sunrise, and she was literally leaving home before sunrise, you know, the Del Mar traffic and working with a lot of the East Coast firm. And so we have to kind of like, just look, we let our career take over us. What do we want to do? We're probably going to get a divorce if we're continuing right here. So we chose happiness.
Well, I think we had to step back and think, like, what is all of it worth? What is all of that worth if we're not, like you said, not happy, not together, not all of those things. And so, you know, I don't think there was any sort of huge thing, but I think it's just a lot of little things. And I think we've been fortunate enough to have parents and other people in our lives that constantly ground.
Yeah, I mean, we gave up all that. And I remember 2018, our electricity got turned off. The banks kept calling, hey, you're negative.
Our accounts with all withdrawn, we can't make our mortgage, all of those things. I think it's like, there's a faith that, like, but that's a lot of it, is that Steve and I, all of the times, we've never really failed too hard at anything. You know, we've failed at things, but we've always kind of found a way. And so I think there's the biggest thing that I hope that any entrepreneur is, you just have to have that faith in yourself. And if you just know that, like, okay, no matter if all the cards are against me, I'm not out of the game, and just being able to turn it around. And I think that's the thing we've always, it's not that we had faith in a peanut butter whiskey. We had faith in us being able to do something.
Yeah, I will make one distinction as well. We fail hard. I think where you guys are successful, and an attribute that I, you know, truly try to pursue myself, is just failing short, meaning, you know, fail fast. So get back on your feet so quickly that, you know, I talk about minutes and moments all the time. And you, through your story, although there's many, many challenges that you guys have faced, some very apparent, some subtle, as you stated in your marriage, that I've lived through, you know, in that lost quandary every day, 16 hours a day, going, wait a second, I have a beautiful family and a beautiful wife. I don't care how many zeros I have in my bank account. And yet I still got up and did the exact same thing without that. The subtlety of minutes and moments in the wrong place is quite apparent, not only as you, as a married couple, and as individuals, but as a business, right? I love the fact you just spend minutes and moments in it, and you are truly in the pursuit of your potential, truly enjoying being kind to your future self by doing good deeds. And, you know, in the end, having full faith, like I always say, this is probably the best example of a playbook I've ever done, of a couple, number one, that believes they're exactly where they're supposed to be. Yeah, including building a family. I love the way that you shared how that all occurred. You're exactly where you're supposed to be at the right place at the perfect time. You're doing everything you can to angle to what you want. But what really comes out with Screwball, Stephen, and you, Brittany, is that you both have faith in the business itself. You'll end up somewhere even better than you can imagine. And it keeps on ending up better and better. And what a blessing it's been that you shared your story. Blessing to have you on here. And I think blessing to call you both my new friends, especially that we're local. And we'll get rid of that fanboy attitude once you get to meet me and sit down and have a whiskey. You'll be like, he's no big deal. That's my next goal. But anyway, thank you so much for everything you do for our community. I will say, we didn't talk about all the awards. If you have not tried Screwball Whiskey, it is unique, delicious, fun. It's extraordinary, and I wear my Screwball hat all the time in South Mission. I'm a big fan of yours as well. So thank you so much for joining me and sharing great lessons and great stories to help everyone.
David, thank you so much. This is, this is our highlight.
Yeah, no, we're honored, so thank you.
Oh, awesome. I look forward to getting together. Once again, this is the Screwball edition of Entrepreneurs, the Playbook.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of The Playbook as much as me. On a personal note, I just wanted to thank everyone for making The Playbook such a success. Don't forget to continue it by sharing, subscribing, and listening to your favorite episodes. This is Dave Meltzer with The Playbook.